person is around you that is not encouraging you or speaking to you with the Word of God, you don't need to be around them. Hello? Hello? Come on. Come on. Every assignment from hell has already been broken and defeated over your life. The devil can get you and can make a fog around you. He can get you to get in the biggest old fog of life that you can't see anything else but what it looks like his plan is going to be. But that's not real. That's not true. It's a smoke screen. It's a lie. Everybody say it's a lie. Jesus said that the devil is the father of all lies. So he cannot speak truth. So if he tells you that you're not going to make it, then that must mean you are. If he can't tell the truth, hello? If he can't tell the truth, then anything he'd say to you then is a lie. So if he's saying something, then it must be the truth. Or the opposite's the truth. Y'all with me? Hello? Then why do we listen? Because he makes it more real. Because we live in a world that we're always looking with our eyes. First Corinthians or Second Corinthians 2:9 says that I hadn't seen or ear hadn't beheld, or I hadn't seen and ear hadn't heard, or has hadn't entered into the hearts of men. Right? The things that God has got prepared for those. We're not looking at it. We're looking at the wrong thing. We're staring at the wrong thing. I tell you, when Jesus appears and he comes back, everybody's going to be so dumbfounded because we've always been looking at the wrong thing. When we get over to heaven on the other side, the Bible says that we're going to look over there and we're going to see the devil and we're going to see all the tactics, we're going to see everything that went on, and we're going to look at it and say, that? Literally, that's the words that Jesus is going to say, that? That is what deceived the nations? That? So you must not really be too impressive compared to the glory of God. Are y'all with me? The angel, when Lucifer fell from heaven, he was in charge of the choir. He was a choir boy. Right? What's interesting, I always think about it. Have you ever noticed that that Hollywood makes the devil out to be so big and snarly and ugly and, you know, whatever, and just whatever? But if you go through the Bible and you look, I can't prove this, but I got a lot of evidence on it. But if you go through and you look, and you look at all the angels that were singing in the Bible, all right? If you go look at the descriptions of angels that were singing, they were always said that they were beautiful. And Lucifer himself said, I'm more beautiful than they all. So they're talking about he was a pretty boy. But when they talk about angels like Michael and Gabriel, who are warring angels, they never say they're beautiful. They said they fall down in front of them and shake for fear. Now, angels are not all just angels. Are y'all with me? There's categories of angels. The Bible talks about there's angels that have four wings that fly around and sing, and there's Gabriel and his angels, there's warring angels, and there's messenger angels, there's different angels that do different things. They look different. All I'm saying is if that's the reaction that we have when we look over and we say, that? He's got to be one of them little short, dumpy suckers. Something. Because he's totally unimpressive when you actually see him. But is he ever a master at spinning his web to make things seem like they're really not? Hello? So sometimes we got to pinch ourselves. Say, what's really real? Is the Word real or what we see real? Is the promise of God real or what we see real? What's real? We have to start challenging ourselves over and over again. What are we really believing? Are we really believing that what God's Word said is true and it's going to come to pass? Or are we believing what we're seeing or the lie of the enemy? We've got to challenge ourselves at all times. If we're going to, it's funny because we have to talk about, oh, that's radical Christianity. No, that's Bible believing Christians. There's no radicalness about it. It's just the way Christians are supposed to live. You either believe what God said is true or you don't. It's pretty cut and dried. Hello? Y'all out there? But the enemy talks us out of it. He talks us out of believing it. Talks us out of walking it. Look at this. Go, get your Bibles out. And go to Psalms 107. Psalms 107. That is not what I want. Psalms 107. Verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Is He or is He not? Today, my wife and I were working on this book I've been trying to get through with forever, and about prayer, and I was just going over the Word, and I was editing it and just going over and over and over and over and over and over, and just reading the Word and reading the Word and reading the Word. And I just started laughing after a while because it's like I have written the promises that I could find throughout the New Testament. And there's like 269 or something like that I have written out, 269 different promises I can find in the New Testament. And I was reading through them and I was like, who wouldn't want this? It's like if you're going to work for a company, everybody says, oh, do you have insurance? But can you imagine if you went and you could really grab hold of what it meant to be a Christian and then all of these 269 promises are yours? Just one little catch. You had to believe it. Doesn't that sound silly? There's only one little catch in life for getting them in your life. You just have to believe it. Believe they'll do it. And have the endurance to stand until the promise comes to pass. But that seems like such a mountain to us. Oh, because we can't physically see it with our eyes. If you could get on a spaceship and we could shoot you to heaven, and you could go up into heaven, and you could see, you know, all of glory, and then turn around and come back, well, then you'd be looking, you'd be thinking different, you'd be talking different, acting different, everything would be different, because you saw it on the other side. You know, the Bible says that when we see Jesus, you're going to be totally, completely changed. Do you think it? I don't know. I wrestle with that scripture. Does it mean you're going to be changed like as a new person outwardly, or does it just mean that when you see Him and who He is and all like that, it just changes everything about you? You mean I really didn't have to worry? Wow, look at you. Like you're just. All of a sudden, you can just relax. Do you know how that feels? I mean, like if there's been something you've been really concerned about or whatever. See, I'm one of those kind of guys that, like, I can be driving down the road in a truck and I can hear something. I hear a noise. And then I get, like, it drives me crazy. I got to find out what it is. And then my mind always starts going through what it could be. And then when I start throwing up all the scenarios, and it's never anything good. Like, I ran over a bucket of gold and it's hung underneath my truck. And I'm going to have to get off and, you know, dig it out. You know, the sewer stopped up, and it must be that, you know, somehow or another the line broke because a big meteorite hit that's worth $300,000, and I'm going to go out there and be able to dig it up. And right? Are y'all with me? And I think it's because when we live in this life, we have so many bad things happen or so many things that go wrong or so many discouraging moments or whatever that after a while we get to where our faith or our encourager gets broken. And so therefore we start looking at everything in the negative way. Y'all with me? And the world makes us like that because we live in a fallen world. And our big wrestle and fight is to be continually believing that God's got it under control and everything's going to be okay. That we will be able to hear His voice and do what He wants us to do. And go where we need to go and be at the right place at the right time doing the right thing. That's a tough one because we get up and we make an assessment and we make a mental image of where we think we should be in our life and our walk and whatever at this point or that whatever. And we say we ought to be there. It's hard to just wake up and say, Lord, I'm all yours today. I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to eat my breakfast and go out that door and wherever happens, happens. You say, hey, you can't work like that. You can't live like that. Or can you? It's all called faith. He says, oh, I'm back to 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endures forever. That means every time you mess up, He's got more mercy than you got mess up. He has more mercy than you have mess up. Are y'all with me? Say it. Let's all say it together. He's got more mercy than I got mess up. Come on, let's say it again. He's got more mercy than I got mess up. Look at the person beside you and say, He has more mercy than you got mess up. Now, we don't want to just abundantly mess up just for the mess up's sake. But no matter when our work and our trying to walk down the road and do what God wants us to do and everything, you're going to make mistakes. But don't quit. Don't give up. Don't think He doesn't want to have anything to do with you because He's got more mercy than you got mess up. And it says in verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Huh? It's our job to say it so. You're the redeemed, right? And it's our job, listen to me, if you do not declare out of your mouth over your household on a daily basis, if you don't speak over your household, you don't speak over your family, speak over your children, pray over everything going on, you don't declare and set the atmosphere for your house, the world will. Hadn't done it in a while, but this morning I was outside preaching to the dog, the cats, the locusts, those vicious looking beasts, whatever those things are up there. They're not locusts. I don't know what those things are. The nastiest looking bugs I've ever seen. I've preaching to them all, walking up and down my porch, preaching to them all. I had my Bible out, had the little scriptures out, just walking down there, just declaring it all. This is what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, I was looking over the valley, looking over everything, said, all you people out there, listen. It's what the Word says. This is what's true. I'm telling you, we're coming into a time and a place in life, church, That it may sound radical, it may sound foolish, but I'm telling you what, we're in a time and a place in this world that your stance has to be, I'm doing what I'm doing because the Bible tells me so. Not because my church says so, not because my church doctrine is this, or not because our faith believes it. No, we're doing what we're doing because the Bible tells me so. You with me? Verse 3, and He gathered out of the lands, and from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. When did God deliver them? Huh. When did they cry out? So, you know, they wandered or they were around before that, but they never talked to the Lord or cried out to the Lord until they got hungry and thirsty. Do you know people that are satisfied or feel like they're okay where they're at? They're not hungry for the Lord, and they're not going to accept what's going on. They're not going to accept the Lord. They're not going to want Him because they're not going to cry out for Him. The greatest enemy going on and the greatest spirit released on the face of the earth right now is the spirit of pride. And what always comes right before pride? When you come to a place in life, if you're not hungry and thirsty for God, then you have to be careful, because what might have come is set into your life is pride. Because you're satisfied. Now, I'm really trying to curb myself. I really have eaten more salad in this last year than I've ever eaten before in my entire life. I'm finding restaurants that specialize in salads. It's sickening, really is. I try to convince myself of whatever, but one thing I've learned is I like to be full. You know, I'm not stuffed, not hurting, not that, but I like to eat something that satisfies me, makes me full. Y'all with me? I mean, nobody wants to sit down and pay for a meal, and when you walk away, you're as hungry as when you sat down. Right? I like to know that I ate something. I don't care if it is a bowl of lettuce. I've convinced myself I can do it. All right? But I want a bowl of lettuce. Y'all with me? I don't want some little sprigs or something there. I want a bowl of lettuce. If I leave some in there, let, you know, they can go feed it to the horse or whatever. Whatever. I just want to see that. But if a person is not hungry and thirsty and trying to find God to satisfy their life, I want to tell you something. They'll never seek Him, and they're not going to walk Him. They're not going to understand it. And what's going on in the world right now is people are full of pride. And because they're full of pride, then what happens is they're not seeking nothing. And they're missing everything. And they say, well, everybody else is just out there silly. Just if you really want to hear a barn burner, be here Sunday. I'm just going to rant like a raving, saved person. Then they cried out to the Lord in trouble, so He delivered them, and He led them forth by the right way. See, immediately when He cried, and they cried out in their distress, He delivered and He led them forth by the right way. In other words, He showed them the right way to go. God did not just pick them up and put them there. He led them. He said, no, okay, listen. Oh, you don't want to be like that anymore. You don't want to be caught in the trap anymore. You don't want to do that anymore. Here, go over here. Go this way. Go this direction. Stop doing that and go this way. Are you with me? You know, like Brother Ivan, I had been having a lot of trouble with my stomach. And I just pray and said, Lord, what am I supposed to do? I just pray, seek the Lord. And one of the things that I really love in life, I love cheese. Really love cheese. Like really sharp cheddar cheese, you know, big cheese like that. I love that stuff. And so every day I'd go home and every day I would eat some cheese. And then every day my stomach hurt and I could not figure out, you know, put this two and two together. And then it was like the Lord just had to just wrap me upside the head and said, what is the matter with you? Quit doing that. And I was like, well, Lord, I like the way it tastes. So if I like the way it tastes, how could it be bad for me? How could my body not like this? I mean, come on, body. So I would pray. I didn't want to quit eating cheese. So I prayed. I said, God, change my molecular structure. Because I really, really want to eat this cheese. So just change my structure so that I can eat this cheese. And I just said, I got faith for that. So every day I eat the cheese, every day my stomach hurt. So I said, okay, I'm digging in on this one. I mean, I fought it for months. I said, no way. I'd eat it. Get it out. Say, in the name of Jesus, you ain't going to hurt me. Eat it. So finally I said, you know, I think it's easier just to listen to what the Lord's saying and let me go down to the right path. And that was it. I didn't touch it and didn't take anything but about 4 weeks and everything healed right up and everything's okay. Point is that we don't want to change. We want to keep going down the same. We want God to make something change to then we can keep doing what we want to do. And it's ignorance gone to seed. Because we're determined, we can pray it, we can believe it, we can make this happen, rather than to hear God say, no, go down this path. Are y'all with me? That's what they did. He said, now I'm going to take you and I'll lead you forth on the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. In other words, to find that place of refuge, to find that place of comfort. You know, I've always liked to watch Western movies, and you know the movies don't make it like it really is, because you got to remember in the old West, in the pioneer days, you were living outside. It's like not even an extended camping trip; it's an eternal camping trip, right? So if it rains, you're wet. I don't know about y'all, but I mean, you know, if it's wet and cold, I don't like to be out in the middle of it. So what he's saying here is he takes them to a city, a dwelling place, a place where you can keep warm and you can be comforted, right? So he took them to a place. Everybody say he took them to a place. God wants to take you to a place where you can be comforted, a place where you can be ministered to, a place where you can find his voice, a place where you can find rest, a place where you can find peace. And that place may not be the place you wanted it to be, but it's a place of rest. Like I did. I had to go to that place. You know, I don't eat cheese now. But you know what? That place brought me comfort. So which was better? You see what I'm saying? Sometimes I don't like the place. I don't like the place. I want to eat it. Then he says, verse 8, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul, he fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in afflictions and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God, and they despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down the heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. So in other words, he's saying, look, it's man doing it to themselves because they won't go where I want them to go. It's you doing it to yourself because we can rebel against whatever God wants us to do. Hello? We want God to change everything the way we want it to be so we can be happy. And when he doesn't do it, then we're mad at him. When the whole time is, we should learn how to walk in faith and cooperate with him. Isn't that right? Verse 13, we'll stop here. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and out of the shadow of death, and he broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. So when did God deliver them? When they cried out. No crying out, no deliverance. God was there the whole time because his mercy endures forever. He was there the whole time to deliver them, but they weren't going to change. So they cried out. When they cried out, got delivered. No crying out, no deliverance. Y'all with me? So wherever you are in your life, if it's time to cry out, it's time to cry out. It's not a weakness to cry out. It's a revelation from heaven to cry out. Because you know deliverance is coming. It means joy to cry out because you know, hey, deliverance is coming. Amen? Amen? So look at that person out there and say, God's got more goodness. Then you got mess up. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Ushers, help me. Let's take up our offering tonight.